During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
That's right. Danny Klingscale, Danny Unleashed with us here in the program. Thank you for joining us here on a sunny but cold fall day.
Just went outside a little bit and it picked up a hint of a south breeze, so I would think that the temperatures are going to start to moderate a little bit.
Did you really? Was it just a hint?
Yeah, because it was dead calm before.
It was a suggestion of a breeze.
Yeah. It wasn't howling or anything, but it was definitely out of the south.
We're going to be into the 50s, mid-50s this weekend.
Sounds good.
Is that okay with you, Danny?
It's damn well okay with me, yes.
Did you know Easton Roofing, they install attic insulation? Some signs you might need a little more insulation in your attic, or maybe better attic ventilation. Cold upstairs. Ice dams forming in your gutters. Lots of icicles hanging from your gutters. These are all potential problems. Easton Roofing can help you out. Not to mention the fact that there are many roofing materials that you cannot install when it's below 40 degrees. So if you need roof work, make sure that you call Easton Roofing. A lot of companies will go out there and put in materials that are not approved for cold weather during the cold season. This can give you a big, big problem. It voids your manufacturer's warranty, number one, and can ruin the roof, making it so you end up with a new one in just a few years. This happens a lot, unfortunately, in the business. Don't let it happen to you. Call our guys at Easton Roofing, proud sponsor of Danny Unleashed, and, of course, DannyKlingscale.com. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Credit cards, PayPal, that works as well, 913-257-5426. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Danny?
Yes, man. What?
Where do you want to start? I've got a number of different things I'd like to get at with you. Do you want to start with some Kansas basketball?
Sure.
Do they suck?
No, I don't think they suck.
Okay. That's what every Kansas fan I know keeps telling me. This team just sucks. I can't even watch it. It sucks. Like, yeah. Really? Oh. Go watch a team score 34 points. That's what my squad did. Then tell me about suck.
Right, although, you know, you got to consider the opponent for your squad.
We did play
somehow,
Virginia.
Somehow 48, what was it, 48 to whatever it was, is not unusual in that world.
48-34, yeah.
You know, hey, Kansas went out and, you know, the big game that they had and turned it over, you know, an unheard of amount of times.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost there at the finish. Now, I'm sure Duke would note that they shot the ball extremely poorly,
as they did,
and but no, I don't. I'm not going to say that there aren't inherent problems with any really good team these days, especially when you just recycle, as these college basketball teams have to do these days, so much of the entire unit every year, and it's going to look like. Does anybody pay attention to the first few games of the NFL season these days? The football's pretty bad a lot of times. And the Chiefs are usually one of the exceptions, to Andy Reid's credit. They seem to have it more up and running a little bit early on, and they're taking advantage of that seemingly year after year right now, after some years where they didn't. I think the more that goes along. Anyway, the point is, there's, you know, you play precious little basketball before you start the season, and then you play a couple of exhibitions against teams that are completely overmatched by you. And you know, you basically can just do anything you want and look half decent. And then you got to play against a team that can make the Final Four. So to panic is absurd. I mean, it is. It's just craziness.
I don't know. I don't know that it's panic as much as it is just like there's a need to, you know, I don't know, be superior, but just like, we tolerate nothing but pure excellence. Well, I mean, then that's good. That's part of what drives this program and keeps it so great. But there's, you know, I couldn't even, like, I heard the, what was it, Billis, who said, and I like Jay Billis a lot, but he said, yo, you boy, you just don't expect to see these turnovers, you know, from such an experienced backcourt. I'm like, Dotson's been around 1 year. This isn't, you know, Devontae Graham in his fourth year at age 23.
Senior, junior together.
Devon Dotson isn't really, to me, anywhere near a pure point guard. I mean, he's really a scoring guard in a point guard's body. When he takes his best attribute is taking the ball to the basket to score, not to dish. And, you know, he turned the ball over a reasonable amount last year. So I don't think you're going to get pure point guard play out of the guy. I don't.
No, I don't either. You expect them to be in the championship game in Maui? They've got a couple other rummies between now and then.
I would think that the, you know, two reasonably lackluster games and then a good stretch of practice should probably have them a little more on point. Yes.
Yeah, I expect them to be in the championship game. I don't know that they'll beat Michigan State. We'll see. Michigan State can have some sloppy play themselves and look ugly to start a year as well. So that may be a...
Although it's more surprising for them because they do truly have an experienced team.
They do, and they have a true lead guard in Cassius Winston to run things, who's experienced. Yeah, absolutely. They pick up Bryce Thompson, number 19 recruit, according to 24/7, combo guard. Sounds like the comments and what you read that he's being told he'll be the point guard after Dotson leaves. Am I the only one that, like, I know everyone was on the edge of their seat, like, is Dotson going to go? Like, you've seen so far, like...
That doesn't mean they won't go, though.
I agree. I totally agree. And if you're done with school, go ahead and go. You play pro ball and make a check somewhere. I don't really care what league it is.
Once you're out of Kansas City,
you're off my watch. I don't care. But I don't. They're talking like, you know, go to the league. Does he look like a guy?
No.
Who has made the progress from year one to year two? Who's ready? Because you can't just be the same guy you were last year. Your stock goes down if that's the case. And I think he made the right choice to stay, but he's got to be better this year.
No question about that. But when these guys these days, it seems like more and more as time goes on, if they don't go that first year, they're just like, well, whatever.
Right.
I'm going. I want to get paid.
But they get Bryce Thompson, and it sounds like the things that are being written about is that he's eyeing playing the lead guard role. It's like, well, you know, Dotson to the league, so I'll be there. I'll be the guy for his one and done. He's also planning on a one and done.
Of course.
The comments I read, every kid does. Sure. You're confident. You're young. You're brash. That's what you ought to do. I got no ill will towards that. That's great. I don't want a kid coming in and going, hope to get drafted someday.
I want to play 4 years on campus. I love it here.
And I just hope I get drafted or somebody will maybe give me a free agent contract. Well, that guy sucks. So I'm not looking for that. I think it's interesting that they were able to land this kid. I mean, and I don't know that he's ever going to make campus, because if they get hit with some, you're out of the tournament, I think he'll skate.
Right. I think, you know, you use every advantage you can get, and they have familial connections in this case. And, you know, so, and one of the schools they beat out for him is Oklahoma State. So, you know,
who used up all their familial connections by hiring the brother of the top recruit that they already had. So they had no more jobs to give out to hire this kid.
Right. So I think that...
by the way, Cowboy fans, I don't give a crap about that either. Do what you got to do.
I don't know if anybody...
Yes, never.
Never happened to Kansas before either.
They just don't get any production out of it. That's what happens
in
Missouri.
When we get people, they get hurt.
that song has been written for 30 years. I mean, the new Cash song has only been written for, you know, Big Cash has only been written for 5 years or so. So, or at least in this wave.
All right, let's switch gears. Do you give Missouri a shot? They're 6-point dogs against Xavier, and one guy who I've asked around certainly knows his basketball. He's not a moron. When he put Missouri 13 in the preseason poll, is there a chance they're going to, I'm not going to say shock the world, but really go out and we're going to be like, wow, this team's a lot better than I thought it was going
to
be?
I just have to see them play. I mean, the thing is, their best...
Incarnate Word wasn't good enough for you?
No, it wasn't.
Northern Kentucky didn't...
That wasn't...
They're so... the reason it's so difficult to judge Missouri is because the player who has the chance to be the best player can go out on any given night and give you 7 minutes.
Yes.
Tweet!
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to judge when your centerpiece guy may just be missing in action that evening.
Back into the game for Missouri, Jeremiah Tillman. Tweet! Into the game, so-and-so, replacing Jeremiah Tillman.
I mean, and when it goes for this long, too, the guy's just probably going to be a fouler his whole career, and you just have to hope you get 23 good minutes out of him on any given night. That's why it's so difficult. And the rest of the cast, I just have to see more of. I know he's a good player.
You got lots of Smiths. You have Smiths for days. They got so many Smiths. They got an M.I. Smith, an M.A. Smith, a Drew Smith, Smith Smith.
Not good marketing, if anything else.
Smith,
get in there!
They play that song by the Smiths and every timeout.
Which none of the players recognize.
Like, what is that?
I do like that they also managed to have two M. Smiths. So in the box score, you're like, all right, which one's this? That is always fun.
And you have to put that second letter in there.
Yes,
always
M-I
always
and
good.
M-A.
Does anyone want to take a hazard a guess on?
If you want me to guess on tonight's game, I'll guess that they don't cover the 6 points, and they get run pretty good in this game. That's what I'll guess. Early season road game, Xavier. You know, that's a tough atmosphere always. I think Xavier will. You know, they'll have the attention of seeing a uniform across the way that they recognize for this game. You know, oh, look! I know who those guys are. At least I know who the jersey is. Inside it, I don't know. It's some guy named Smith, but. Let's go beat him.
Your name's Smith? My name's Smith, too.
Hey, Smitty.
Yeah, they beat Xavier last year, but they beat him at home. And this Xavier team this year is better than last year's team.
You know, is that a – here, I'm going to – I know you'll just go sideways on this one. Do black guys call each other Smitty when they're named Smith? That seems to be a white guy thing, doesn't it?
I would find that highly
have
unlikely.
Have you ever heard –
I'm trying to think.
Hey, Smitty. I don't know.
Trying to take your question serious.
Yeah. I've only known one person.
I mean,
who
you have a friend.
Smitty.
My friend Smitty.
And he is extremely white.
Light complected.
Yes.
Reddish, strawberry blonde hair.
In Texas.
You're going to have to go back a lot of generations to find anything but white in that lineage.
So we have no experience. I'm trying to think if
I don't either. No.
Well,
I've been around. I played a lot of hoops with guys named Smith who aren't white, and
they were never Smitty.
I never heard him be Smitty.
The other Smith I knew, Matt Smith, and we called him Matty.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know what.
Jed, you got an opinion on this?
Yeah, I think that this is probably not the best conversation for us to be continuing to have.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this.
I think it's legit. Yeah, think it's a cultural question. I mean, legit is a loose term.
We already did. We already trotted out the fact that the Smiths on the Missouri team wouldn't know who the hell the Smiths band is.
Right.
So, basketball is the arena where you don't worry about talking about race. The most. I mean, not that there's nothing there, but I think it's the best. It is the best area we have in our culture, I think.
I think sports in general, if you can play.
Sports in general, but I think basketball even more so, because I think it's just talked about more. You know, you just make fun of it, you know, because the white guy is the one who gets dumped on. So it's even more fun. Oh, look, they get three white guys. They must stink. Wisconsin, I hate them. Look at all those white guys running around.
You can joke about the 86 Celtics.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped rooting for the Celtics, actually, because so many people rooted for them because they were all white.
From the franchise that crossed the color barrier
right.
in the NBA to being the team that somehow found a way to field in an all-white squad in the 80s.
And then the one brother they ran out there, Dennis Johnson, barely fit the
well,
bill.
Who was
Robert
Chris
Parrish
Rock?
Parrish was there.
Well, Parrish, yeah. But who was it, Chris Rock or something? Who was the comedian? There's an African-American comedian. He's like, Celtics are the whitest team ever. Oh, and every time I bring that up, somebody goes, well, what about Dennis Johnson? He has freckles.
sounds like a Chris Rock bit.
Exactly.
I can't remember who was it.
Anyway.
All right, young people, ask your dad, the Celtics in the 80s.
Yeah.
Great team, all white, save Dennis Johnson.
They managed to have Larry Bird and then go out and find a whiter guy in Kevin McHale.
and then Danny Ainge, the two guard.
Yes. And you have to Brigham Young to top it off. Right, and then the one, and then the one,
Larry Bird,
the
from
one
Indiana
real
State.
Brother they had, they just tossed a offensive slur on by calling him Chief.
Yeah, they managed to find high level players from BYU, Minnesota, and Indiana State. So go figure. The thing was, then they found Jerry Seesting, and they grabbed Scotty Wedman on the tail end of his career, and Bill Walton coming back from his umpteenth foot surgery. They found every white guy. It's like it's staggering.
Old broken down Ernie D at the end of his career.
Greg Kite
was
the backup center. It was because they had Cornbread Maxwell, and they moved him.
Right.
In one of the deals, maybe to get McHale or something, and it was a plan.
Who's now their color announcer, no pun intended.
McHale?
No.
Or Cornbread.
Cornbread.
Anyway, all right, I digress. So you are expecting Xavier to get it done tonight.
I am expecting Xavier to get it done.
I'm intrigued. 6 points at Xavier seems low.
I've always sort of had a tad bit of a soft spot for Xavier because back in the day when they had those battles with Huggy, I always rooted for Xavier over Cincinnati. So once a year I was a Xavier fan at least. So, and then when Chris Mack was there, I liked the way they played. So for whatever reason, do you ever just stumble into a team or a college program that you end up
you sort of have
a soft spot for? You know, I follow the Predators only because my daughters lived in Nashville for 5 years, and there was always talk about them folding and everything, so I wanted them to be good so they'd stay in Nashville where they belonged. I've got a few examples of that, and Xavier is one of them. So
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like in any given tournament, I might pick up the charge for somebody, as my team is usually crapping
the bed. Sometimes
you
do that,
and
then maybe
round.
It carries on for a little while.
I feel you.
How are they doing now? How's that program?
Who, mine?
No. I mean, if team wins a couple games in the tournament, then you're like, hey, I like the way they played. Let's watch them this year. They stink.
They're 10-27.
Their coach is sweeping the gym
during the game.
This is an issue. The Cats, are you buying the Cats behind Xavier Sneed? They've picked up a couple of wins.
I think the Cats are going to be problematic at times for people, but I think they'll have some head scratcher. I don't like the roster that much.
Okay.
They lost an awful lot. Cartier-Jarre is a fun player to watch, but he's more highlight reel than consistent performer, I think, a lot of times. I think the team kind of hinges on his performance, whether he can be the guy that he sometimes is, or you're like, whoa, that guy has got some skills. And then the next game he gets 4 points. And he's not a great shooter, so he shoots the highest jump shot in the history of basketball from outside. How'd you do that in your high school? With the gym that low.
You would note that. I'll say this.
He's a rare left-handed shooter who doesn't look sweet. When you're shooting the basketball.
That's true. I will say that I do like that Xavier Sneed seems to be taking the role because they need him to. And I think that's a positive sign. I talked to Bruce Weber at Big 12 Media Days, and I said, hey, how's he going? Because he's kind of had that who's that? Remember Samuel, Jamar Samuels?
Jamar Samuels. Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, God, man, he'd show you a flash. Like, come on. And it never came.
And it never happened.
I was like, well, is that going to be Xavier Sneed? And
he still holds the K-State record for points in a Big 12 tournament game.
I know. But then that's it.
What? 27. He's like, whoa.
That was the fury. That and that time they upset number one Texas. He brought it that game, mm-hmm. too.
27's the record?
At least it has been for maybe someone the last couple of years. But for a long time, I kept going, there's Jamar Samuels still holds the record for points in a Big 12 tournament game for K-State.
He went wild with 27.
Yeah.
Stop the presses. Can you even use that phrase anymore?
No. They're not printing much.
No, I don't think so.
No, but listen, Bruce Weber does a good job. I mean,
he does do a good job.
You know, he's going to get the most out of the team. But I do worry that there's not enough firepower.
I absolutely worry about it. I think that if he takes this team to the tournament, that's one of those instances that you don't like. But I'd be thinking, you know, he maybe should be coach of the year. I know your stance on that.
I wouldn't. There's always one or two of those guys that I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see that on this guy. I mean, I'm not, you know, I think I have my stance. You win the league, you were the coach of the year. That's what goes into it.
I really understand your point in this particular sport because you're the GM, you're everything.
But
you're the banker.
But there are guys that I wouldn't have a problem. You know, it's the 500 team in league where I'm like, spare me. I mean, right. Last year, you know.
Oh no, the team should do, well.
Last year, Bruce Weber co-champ.
Bruce Weber could go to the tournament at 500 in the league. So I guess we're talking. I'm talking a little.
If this team makes the tournament, he would be worthy of coach of the year.
I agree with that.
I will say that. This does not smell like a tournament team to me. But the UNLV win was a good one.
It was.
They're not great. No, and
you know when you score 50 points in regulation, you're thinking to yourself, well. Must not be much of an opponent there. The opponent got 50 at home in regulation. So, hey, nice. Get a road win. Always a good marker for you. Not going to toss it back. But if it was 78-74, I would have been, nice. Nice win.
Yeah.
56-53 or whatever it was in overtime. I'm like, oh. Well, okay. You got the job done.
It's very early, and I don't even get how some of these things work this early in the year, but KenPom has K-State at 49.
That would probably have them out of the tournament.
Yeah, it would. Yep. I mean, it wouldn't be an automatic bid. You know, unless they got the automatic bid. Excuse me.
Right.
I'm trying to say.
Yes.
I'm trying to scroll down here and see how bad UNLV is on KenPom, and I'm a long way down. I either missed them or they are just awful. I must admit. Nope. There they are. 152.
Who?
UNLV,
that's pretty low.
That's pretty low
for a high major. that might be among the lowest for a high major.
Yes, we'll take a break, come back, talk some Chiefs football next here on the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Sammy Sosa, 51 today. Who gave up his first major league home run in 1989.
I'm assuming it's a Royal of some sort.
It is not.
What good are you, Curtis?
It is a pitcher of great accomplishment, though.
Gave up his first in what year?
1989.
Roger Clemens.
You know how many more home runs Sammy Sosa hit off Roger Clemens?
None.
Zero. That's it, kid.
Here, kid.
You ain't doing this again.
If you can catch up to it, congrats. And he did. And then he never threw him another one. I like that. Good Sense, what we were playing for. Grab it on your way home today. GoodSenseSubs.com. You can order right now and just pick it up for a little dinner tonight. Also, the app. Make sure you download the app and get that loyalty club 10% back. The best deal going right now. Good Sense Subs, slicing the meats and cheeses. Fresh right in front of you. They bake that bread twice each day. The winter, great time to walk in there after they've baked the bread. It's nice and warm, and you get the great smell. It is great. Go see him at Good Sense tonight. On your way home, Danny Klinkscale's with us. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Don't forget, they do the insulation as well. So if you've got the cold upstairs or the ice dams in your gutters, icicles hanging, these are signs that you may need better insulation in your attic. Take advantage of it. Easton Roofing will be there to help you out. Just call 913-257-5426. Danny, Chiefs lose. Just an anomaly of circumstances that caused them to lose a game that statistically they dominated in time of possession and yards, or a sign of more trouble to come? Which is it?
Well, the loss itself took a lot of different things to occur, but it doesn't mean that some of the things that happened within the game, which they should have won anyway, are not problematical. I think their attention to detail is not a strong point so far this year. But I think that's, I think you can play around that, and that's kind of a, I think it's an Andy Reid loose ship type of thing. You get the positive out of it that I think they really like playing with Andy Reid. I don't think that there is a feeling of true accountability on little things, which in a game like this can hurt you. But the, to me, the biggest thing that comes out of the game, again, is just the ability for the other team to bully the game late. I mean, you gave up, you are giving up running game so easily that when a team takes over down by two scores with 8 minutes to go, they are unafraid to run the football because they know that not only can they run it, they can get it down the field in 3.5 minutes. Running the ball. That to me is the most, if you're looking for a problematical thing about the win, I mean about the loss, they should have won the game no matter what all these things they did. But against a better team, the ability not to stop the run, which we thought had not, maybe not been solved, but improved.
Yeah, and they give up their, I think that was the highest total on the year, 225, right?
Yes, and, you know, there was one long run in there, but that wasn't it. And after the long run,
The long runs, you know, that's Greg Robinson. Well, you know, you take out their two longest runs. They ran for 120.
Right.
You know, I mean, they still hosed you. You give up 220 on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Take that one out. They still got you for 160.
The problem is the way that they are have improved, and I think it's more of a home thing, which creates more of urgency to get as many home playoff games as you can.
They actually suck at home.
Against the run?
They are significantly better on the road than at home. Now, that is completely schedule-driven, which is exactly what was going on last year. It's one of the things we talked about in the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show. In fact, the stats, I have to look through them here, but there's a stat that basically they're the exact opposite of what they were last year. Remember, that was the thing that was going to save them. Oh, at home, they're totally different. They played crap teams. Patriots came in here and went up and down the field on them, and that's what good teams do to bad defenses. And this one is looking, trending exactly the same way. I'll find it here. But this year, it's just flip-flop because they played good teams on the road. Good teams at home.
If you take away the 68-yard Derrick Henry touchdown run, their other 25 carries, they averaged 6.3 per carry.
Yeah. At home, they're giving up 26.5 points per game. On the road, 18. I mean, it's because at home, they've played good clubs.
Right. I just meant the running game improvement that we saw in the previous two games was at home.
Yeah.
That was what
the Broncos
was
on the
was
road.
Out.
In a row.
You know, I almost don't even count on the Broncos game. The opponent decided to vacate the premises midway through the second quarter.
The other two games I was kind of
encouraged. It looked like, you know, Derek Nnadi was getting some things done, and
Colin Saunders played 13 snaps.
And then Chris Jones comes.
Derek
Nnadi
played 29. Why? What was this against a team that you knew wanted to run the ball? This to me was Spagnuolo's worst day. And if it's because he's got someone in his ear saying you got to play Clark and you got to play Jones, you know, because we're trying to trade him at the end of the year or whatever. I mean, what was working was two fatties and a blitz. And they got away from that. And it blew up in their face.
Yeah, it did. And I heard you say it earlier, and it's really kind of a, you know, drum I've been banging for a while, is that Chris Jones likes to make the big play in the backfield. Down to down, to me, the evidence is there just by the performance of the defense as a whole. They stink against the run when he plays. And does that mean that you don't want a player like that out there? He's a home run hitter. That's what I would say about Chris Jones.
A lot of strikeouts and a lot of home runs.
Yeah, that's what I think Chris Jones is as a defensive player. And,
I think it's fair.
And I think that that kind of player can be valuable to you. You know, home runs on defense, strip sacks and things like that are game changers. And sometimes maybe you have to live with the other things. But is that a prescription that's going to get you beat by certain teams, especially when other teams have viewed the Chiefs and said, it's going to be impossible to stay up with them unless we control the ball. Now, the Titans ran the ball, but they didn't control the ball. They didn't have it that much. But that other teams are seeing it now. They're like, hey, we may go down in flames running the ball two-thirds of the time, but what the hell? It's the only way we're going to beat them.
And
so they're going to do it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, until they stop it, that's what they'll do. They stopped it for a few weeks. And they even had some success early on against the Titans. I give the Titans a lot of credit for sticking with it. Well, you and I have talked about that a number of times. Teams just won't stay with it. They did.
Right, and I think more teams are seeing the evidence that that's what you need to do. If that's the way to beat the Chiefs. We've seen real improvement in the secondary. All four sacks in the game the other day were coverage sacks. Ryan Tannehill is expert at holding the football too long, which he did on all four of those sacks. And the secondary is proving to be a strength. So how are you going to beat him? You're going to run on him. And if even stubborn offensive coordinators see enough evidence that that's the way to do it, then they'll do it. Ordinarily, in this day and age, these guys are, a lot of them are young. A lot of them pay attention to the analytics, as they should. What they see is that moving the football is far more efficacious through the air. Yards per play, all kinds of other things. But the benefits in a game that still is about physicality in many ways are evident. I think the Chiefs, it does seem to be that if other teams were not doing this, the Chiefs would have a couple more wins.
The Chiefs are a soft team.
I agree.
If they don't like that, go out and prove it.
Right. The Chiefs are a finesse team.
Which is in the NFL is viewed as soft.
Agreed. I was trying to be nice. Call them a finesse
team. I think you're fine. I think both are accurate. Because I think in the NFL, like what we watched last night between Seattle and San Francisco. If they're playing one of those two teams, how's it look?
Playing against physical teams is a problem. There's no question about that. I mean, and a physical team a lot of times reads physical running game. And if they're physical with, and also the Chiefs now are so banged up and convoluted on the offensive line that if they get a physical defensive line, you've got some problems too. So the trenches aren't the Chiefs' friends. The Chiefs' friend is out on the exterior of the field right now.
Mm-hmm.
The speed on the offensive players and the defensive secondary. That's clearly the strengths of the team. And those are, for better or for worse, those are finesse areas of football.
Do you buy for a second that LeSean McCoy was held out of that game?
No.
Okay.
I was going to bring that. That was one thing I was going to bring up. He didn't play very much in the game after he fumbled.
He had 3 carries for 9 yards.
Right. And then he's a healthy scratch and the coach is like, Come on. He had, you know what? You held down his workload the week before. He didn't have to do it again by have him active. Who is Barney Thompson? Who the hell is that? You know, the third string. You'd like McCoy, Darby at least Thompson. For a couple, you know, his workload would be protected if he was Thompson. There as the third back. I mean, if 2 guys went down, wouldn't you want to rather have LeSean McCoy out there? Even if that's your narrative.
Well, so this
you're trying to, which is bull. I think it's bull.
This is the issue with signing a $5 million running back that's not going to cover kicks, too.
That's probably part of the deal.
I mean, if you're going to be.
They don't want him. If they're going to have him out there for 3 carries.
Then he needs to go down and cover some kicks.
Right, then somebody else has to.
And they're seemingly not going to ask him to do it.
Right.
I mean, this is one where I do question, you know, the accountability part of the equation. I mean, is this just, hey, you go back with us to the Philly days? So, you know, you roll with us? Because I said, you know what I said when he's carrying the ball around like that? If you've told him to put it away and he hasn't put it away, then cut him.
Well, also, you brought him in, and he spent his whole career carrying the football that way. So I guess you shouldn't either demand that he change, or really, just don't sign him in the first place. You can say he's not a fumbler, but we talked about it either the last time or two times ago. The numbers show otherwise. You know, no back in the NFL like fumbles the ball 40% of the time or something. It's a low number, but it's a telling number. And in an NFL where there aren't that many turnovers anymore. I mean, 3 and 4 turnover games used to be commonplace. Now it's like, oh, you're dead. You can't win. It doesn't happen. It's like once a week to one team. It's seen as a freak show, a circus. The Jets, the Dolphins, they're the only teams who do stuff like that. So, you know, 2 turnovers is a bad day.
Part of that's offenses are so good. You turn it over, they're scoring.
Right.
Kickers, you're giving up 3 minimum probably.
Exactly.
So it's the fun. I mean, it's much more focus is placed on not turning it over.
We'll talk about the AFC West race next with Danny Klinkskill. He's here. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. You can find them online at eastonroofing.com. Happy to do repairs. And, of course, with a foreman on site at every job. Also, keep in mind, this time of year when it is getting cold, they will handle that attic insulation as well. Yes, they do that. You can find out more by going to eastonroofing.com.
The Program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You listen to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro, Danny Klinkskill with us. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Make sure that you call Easton Roofing. A lot of contractors out there giving no thought to the fact that if you do not have the right materials and you're installing it under 40 degrees, there can be big, big problems. Easton Roofing only installs the cold weather materials when it is cold. If you don't, you can have big, big problems. It voids your warranty. Also can ruin the roof. You could be replacing it in just a few years. Don't run that risk. Call Easton Roofing. Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Great reviews on Google. Check them out for yourself. It's Easton Roofing. 913-257-5426. See them online at eastonroofing.com. Danny, if the Chiefs win against the Chargers, there's a strong likelihood they'll be tied with the Raiders when they come to town after the bye week. Bengals and Jets, the next two opponents for the Raiders. Do we indeed see 2-7-4 teams playing here in Kansas City after the bye?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say either one team or the other is going to lose. I can see the Raiders just peeing their pants on one of those two. I can. Oh, where are they?
Where are the games?
Yeah.
They are, I will tell you. I think it's home for the Bengals and at the Jets, but I'm going to look it up. It is, yeah, home for the Bengals and at the Jets.
It just seems like it won't happen exactly the way that we think it will. I think the Chargers are going to be really a tough out in Mexico City. You know, we probably feel like their last stand was their last game that they lost. They probably feel like their last stand is that game. They've got enough talent. Gordon's starting to run the ball better. They're getting healthier. I do think they are just a good football team that has had some bad fortune, and they have figured out a way to screw up some games that they should have won.
Bad fortune or bad coaching?
Well, they've had some bad fortune with the injuries, I'll say that. But, you know, Phillip Rivers is prone to the big mistake, and I'm not in I don't like Phillip Rivers camp, but he makes some head scratchers during a otherwise very good game. Often he throws more end zone interceptions, I think.
Oh, this season,
most quarterbacks, and they just kill you. And he's just got so much desire to make plays that he doesn't realize that it seems that the end zone interception is just maybe the biggest disaster you can trot out there in football.
I get the idea we're going to find out what this team thinks of Anthony Lynn, because they know he's up against it if they come out and play their asses off, we'll know that they, you know, that's what I would think. If they come out and just lay an egg, I think you can might be safe to say that they weren't behind him in the first place.
So I think,
and I don't know what to think of which one of those is more likely to happen.
It would seem that, you know, the fact that he's been around as long as he has already would indicate that at least the front office thinks that the players are bought in with him. I do think they've, I mean, their injury situation the last couple of years has been absolutely astonishing.
Went to the four last year, yeah.
You know, a lot of them, and a lot of the big, a lot of really big time players.
Yeah.
Not just the amount.
It makes you wonder, what are they doing up there training wise that every year? Mike Pouncey, Derwin James, they may be getting Derwin James back. That one's of note, but like every year they're losing like key pieces right out, and always right out of the chutes.
Right.
Russell Kung was out. He's back now, but was out. No, it is. It's freaky how it works. I think the Chiefs actually slap him around. I think the Chargers are on empty.
Yeah, I kind of think the other way. So I'll be impressed. I will be impressed. This will be an impressive win by the Chiefs to me. Now, if they slap him around, I guess that is too. But to me, if they slap him around, that would mean the Chargers had kind of mailed it in, because I think the Chargers are too good to just get their butts kicked in a game that they're really bought in on. I do think they have the personnel now that they're starting to get healthy that they should be better than that. So I guess we're on opposite sides of that one.
Yeah.
But it's an intriguing game, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'll be fun. DannyClinkscale.com, where you can check out all of Danny's great work.
Absolutely.
Brought to you by Easton Roofing.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
Hi, Russell Westbrook is 31 today. How many UCLA Bruins have scored more career NBA points than Westbrook? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.